Okay, and we are live. Welcome to the ARC English Podcast once again. Today, we're going to be going over if it's necessary for you to pursue the C2 level of English, the most advanced level of the English language, or if it's not necessary, if there's no need to do it. So I'm going to give you 5 reasons why you should and why you should not pursue the C2 level of English. And now, if you're watching this or listening to this on YouTube or Facebook, if you'd like to support the platform, you could simply do so by liking the video. It'll help the algorithms spread the message to other people who are also trying to improve their English. And again, if you'd like me to make a podcast episode covering any question you may have regarding learning the English language, simply send us a message on Instagram, leave a comment down below on whichever platform you're on, and we'll definitely make an episode based around what you want to improve upon. So, moving forward, the first reason why you should pursue the C2 level of English would be because you want to achieve a high level of English proficiency. Maybe you're pursuing higher education. Maybe you even want to teach English to your kids, to your parents, to others as a teacher in a foreign country that doesn't speak English as a first language. I would say those are all very valid reasons why you should pursue the C2 level of English. You'll want to have a deep understanding of the grammatical rules, and maybe you want to be perfectly bilingual so you can help people who speak your native language learn the English language just like you did. That is a valid reason to pursue the C2 level of English. Now, the second reason why you should is career advancement. If you're trying to get a job in an English-speaking country, or if you're even trying to get a job remotely, but it requires you to become fluent in English, then absolutely, absolutely, I highly recommend that you pursue the C2 level of English. I think this is going to help your credibility in the business world if you want to pursue business in the English language. And also, it's just going to make your life far easier when it comes to navigating your way through basic work environments, even if it's remote, even if you live in Bangladesh or if you live in the Philippines, but you're doing a job that requires you to know English. Believe me, that's a huge asset, and you will be a lot more valuable in the job market when it comes to your skill set, because you're fluent in English at the C2 level. Now, the third reason why you should pursue the C2 level of English would be effective communication. Okay. With C2 proficiency, you're going to be able to discuss a much more broad array of topics in the English language. You're going to be able to discuss several more subjects, several more topics in the English language. Okay. So, a thing that a lot of intermediate learners struggle with is they're very limited to the types of conversations they can have. They're very good at having basic conversations. But if you want to talk about something a little bit deeper, like maybe religion or maybe politics, or maybe a very niche or specific type of business, for example, you're going to be really limited to how well you can have these more sophisticated conversations. So if you want to open up the array of topics that you can actually discuss in the English language, you should absolutely pursue the C2 level of the English language for sure. And now, before I get to the last two reasons why you should, I'm just going to address some chats here. We have Boran. Hi, how are you today? I'm good. Hope you're doing well. Welcome to the stream. Maziasti from YouTube. Hello, hello. Welcome to the stream. Nice to see you again. Boran, is it your mother language? Yes, English is my first language. My accent is mostly Canadian because I was born and raised in the country of Canada. So that's the dialect of English that I speak. Okay, so, and if you have any questions, you can jump into the chat and ask away. I'm going to be addressing them all at the end of the 5 reasons why you should pursue advanced English, and the 5 reasons why you should not. At the end of the stream, I will address all of your questions. So you can ask away, stick around, and I will get to them. Sophie, hello. Welcome to the stream, Sophie. And Abba Chan, welcome back, Abba. Nice to see you again. Okay. Now, the 4th reason why you should try to learn the advanced level of English at C2 would be academic pursuits, okay? If you're pursuing higher education, if you want to get into a university or college, or even get some sort of certificate in an English-speaking country like the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, whichever it is, you're going to have a pretty difficult time pursuing your higher education if you only have the B1 or B2 level of English, if you're only intermediate. At that point, I think it'll help you tremendously academically to pursue the C2 level of English. That's a very big reason why you should pursue it. And then the last reason why you should pursue advanced English would be cultural integration, okay? If you want to be able to fit in better and have more free-flowing conversations with native English speakers, and you don't want to be labeled as that person who has bad English in your friend group of native English speakers, then yes, absolutely, you should pursue the advanced level of English. You don't want to be stuck in a conversation having to stop and ask, what does this mean? What does that mean? You don't want to be lost in a conversation that's more advanced, that's more natural with native English speakers, okay? So that's another reason why you should pursue the C2 level if you want to be able to communicate at that level, okay? So quickly to summarize, the 5 reasons why you should pursue advanced English are: you want to get a higher level of proficiency, you want to advance your career, you want to be an effective communicator in a lot of different subjects, you want to pursue higher education, you want to go to a university or college in English, and cultural integration. You want to be able to fit in with native English speakers. Okay, now, here are 5 reasons why you should not pursue the C2 level of English, why you should not pursue advanced English, okay? Here are 5 reasons. The first thing is time and effort. Honestly, time and effort. It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort, and that's honestly why most people fail and why most people do not ever become fluent in the English language despite them trying. Okay. They give up way too soon. They practice really, really hard for 1 month, maybe 2 months, maybe 3 months, maybe 6 months, maybe even a year. And then they don't see extreme results. They're not speaking like a native English speaker after 1 year of hard work. And that's normal. They don't understand that that's normal. And I know it's difficult on the internet. You hear a bunch of stories of people who became fluent in English in 30 days or became fluent in English in a few months, that's not going to apply to everybody, okay? It's silly to expect that to be applicable to everyone, okay? So it's extremely important that you consider realistically how much time and effort will actually go into learning the English language. So if you're someone who doesn't have the time, or does not want to make the time to learn English, then you should absolutely not pursue the C2 level of English. You should just stick with maybe the lower intermediate level. And honestly, you'll be able to get by at that level. But there's no point in pursuing the advanced level because, believe me, you will need time and you will need effort if you want to get there. Okay. And now the second reason why you should not pursue advanced English would be diminishing returns, okay? So here's the progression of someone who tries to become fluent in English, okay? You start as a beginner, okay? You learn the basics, you learn vocabulary, learn how to communicate in the most common situations, you learn the most common words in the English language, you practice it a lot, and then you get to the intermediate level, okay? Once you get to the intermediate level, a ton of doors have just opened for you, okay? Once you get to the intermediate level of English, where you can understand most of what everyone says to you, and you can also get your point across and people can understand you at that intermediate level, you have just opened a million doors. It's a whole new world now. Now you're in the world of English speakers. Now you can communicate with English speakers, even if it's not perfect, even if it's not smooth. At the intermediate level, you can navigate your way through probably 80% of all scenarios you'll find yourself in the English language. Now, if you want to go from intermediate to advanced, it's not going to be as beneficial as going from beginner to intermediate. Going from beginner to intermediate is extremely beneficial. It helps you a ton. Now you can travel. Now you can talk to people. Now you can communicate in English. It opens a whole new world. Going from intermediate to advanced, there's a few benefits, but it's not as substantial as it was before. Okay. So you have to consider that. Diminishing returns. Is it worth it? Is it worth going from intermediate to advanced? Do you need it? Do you need it for school? Do you need it for travel? Do you actually need it? You need to ask yourself that question, or else you're going to feel like the time you're putting forth isn't even worth it. Okay. Now, the third reason you should not pursue advanced English would be stress and burnout. Okay. Now, what do I mean by that? Now, similar to the first two points, if you're putting forth a ton of time and a ton of effort into pursuing the advanced level of English, but honestly, the benefits for your particular life situation don't really seem to be worth it, you're probably going to burn out because you're going to be spending a lot of time and it's going to be driving you crazy to learn these a little advanced grammatical rules, advanced speaking patterns or sounds that native English speakers make. And it will really drive you crazy because you'll come to find out that most native English speakers actually don't even know most of the grammatical rules that you're studying, especially the advanced ones. Most native English speakers don't even follow correct English grammar. Most native English speakers have a completely different method of communicating in English than the way you're going to learn out of a textbook to get to the advanced level. Okay, so you might burn out and it might drive you crazy, especially when everything you're learning is not necessarily applied to the real world for most people. Okay, so that's another thing. Now, the fourth reason why you should not pursue advanced English would be just it doesn't align with your specific goals. Okay, so let's say you're someone in the Philippines, or you're someone in Bangladesh, or you're someone in India, okay? And your goal is to travel and potentially go to school or work in an English-speaking country, okay? You want to go live and work in an English-speaking country. It may not necessarily align with your goals. If your job doesn't really require you to have a C2 level of English. Let's say you want to go to the United States of America and you want to open your own shop, your own clothing shop, your own convenience store. You want to start your own business in the United States of America. Nowhere in that equation are you required to have a C2 level of advanced English. Okay, there are tons of people who do that and they come to the States. There are even some people who come to America or Canada and they don't even know English, but they still find a way to run their business without even knowing English. So you don't need C2 level of English if what you're trying to do doesn't require it, okay? The only situations I can think of that would require it are really like trying to do a prestigious degree in English, trying to work a job that requires you to be communicating with lots of native English speakers in more sophisticated conversations. And if you want to teach the English language to other people, obviously. Okay. So really think about it. Okay. Think about if your specific goals, what you want to get out of learning English is actually aligned with pursuing the C2 level of English. It might not be necessary. You might not need it. Okay. And then the last reason why you should not pursue the C2 level of English would be an overemphasis on fluency. Some people overemphasize how fluent you really need to be to have meaningful conversations. I've had plenty of meaningful conversations with people who speak English at like the B1 level. They're able to get their point across, even though it's not perfect, even though they make grammatical errors. I can clearly understand exactly what they're trying to say. And they can also understand about 80 to 90% of what I'm saying to them. So it's really not required to, you don't need to put an overemphasis on being perfectly fluent in English. And then, like I said before, even native English speakers, a lot of them are not even that proficient at English themselves, just due to maybe they grew up with a poor education system in certain places in the world, in English speaking countries, or they just slacked off in school and they weren't very, they didn't really take it seriously. And they're a little bit illiterate coming out of school. So there are many reasons why people are not even that proficient in English, even if it's the only language that they know. So keep that in mind. And that's it. If you guys have any questions, ask away in the chat. I'm going to get to them in the next minute. I'm just going to quickly summarize what we discussed here today. Okay. So here's your takeaway. So the five reasons why you should not pursue. The C2 level of English would be, it's going to take too much time and effort, time that you don't have or time that you're not willing to put forth. Diminishing returns, you're not really going to get that many benefits out of pursuing the advanced level of English. That's two. Number three, stress and burnout. It may drive you crazy to learn advanced rules that are not even really applied by most people in the real world. Number four, it doesn't align with your goals to of what you're trying to get out of learning English. If you just want to travel, you don't need to pursue the C2 level of English. And then number five, overemphasis on fluency. You don't have to be perfectly fluent. And lots of native English speakers are not perfectly fluent. So again, that's another reason why you should not pursue it, because believe me, if you become perfectly fluent, nobody's going to give you a medal. Nobody's going to be giving you a gold star. You're not going to win a lump sum of money here if you become perfectly fluent. Okay. So really consider the benefits that you're really trying to get out of it. Okay. So those are five reasons why you should and should not pursue the C2 level of English. Okay. Now I'm going to get to your questions and we will wrap this thing up after we get them. And if you want me to make a podcast episode or a live stream about anything else, just leave a comment down below on this video on whichever platform you're watching from, and I'll be sure to make an episode on your question. Or you can shoot us a DM on Instagram. It's just arc.english on Instagram. And or you can shoot us an email at arcenglish123@gmail.com. Okay. Let's get to your questions here. Ali, which book would you like to recommend us to learn the English language conceptually? I highly recommend the McGraw-Hill English books. It's called McGraw-Hill, M-C-G-R-A-W, McGraw-Hill, H-I-L-L. Just search that, search Learning English on Google, wherever it is. They have great books for learning English for intermediate learners. If you're at the beginner level, which I don't think you are, because it seems like you can understand what I'm saying, but if you're at the beginner level, you should get a book in your native language outlining the differences between your native language and the English language. That's going to be much more beneficial for you at that level. Okay. Noemia Jofan, sorry if I ruined your name there. Hi. Serge, hello, folks. Hi, welcome to the stream. Zahir, hi, nice to see you. Nyun, sorry if I ruined your name. Hi, how are you? I'm good. Do you have any comments for correct to pronounce when you speak? Do I have any comments for correct to pronounce when you speak? Yeah. So like, how can you speak correctly, or how can you pronounce words correctly when you speak? Well, you're going to have to simply consume more media that is showcasing native English speakers communicating in English. Okay. Podcasts, interviews, YouTube videos, showing real life situations. Those are all great for that. Great for observing how native English speakers actually communicate. You'll be able to quickly see the patterns of what you learned in a book that actually applies and what you learned in a book that is not applicable to the real world. You'll pick up on the patterns, and then you actually need to exercise your mouth to mimic and pronounce words the same way as a native speaker. Okay. Do not forget that part. You need to actually train your mouth to pronounce words like a native English speaker after listening to them saying it first. Think of it as if you're a famous actor in a movie, okay? And in the movie, you need to play a role where you need to pretend like you have an accent that exhibits another language, okay? Think about it as if you're an actor and you need to pretend like you're sounding English. You need to pretend and mimic the English person you just watched on a YouTube video or something like that. It's called the shadowing technique. It's been proven to work over time. Since before I was born, for hundreds of years, the shadowing technique has been proven to work. Okay. So try that and your pronunciation will get better. Okay. Leo Bessa, hi teacher. It's been a while since I watched one of your lives. Yeah, it's been a while. Nice to see you again. I'll be doing them every Saturday at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. So yeah, if you can make it, that's the time I will be going live now. And I'll give you a free lesson. I'll answer all your questions, whatever it is. And we can communicate. I can check up on you guys and see how you're doing with your English learning. Okay, fam. Hey, long time no see, dude. How was your day? It was good. Nice to see you, fam. Nice to see you again. I hope you're doing well. Hope you're doing well. Sophie. Which level is needed to live in the UK or US? Sophie, I would say if you can get to the B2 intermediate, upper intermediate, B2 level of English, it will be very easy for you to navigate your way through the United Kingdom, the UK, or the US, the United States. It'll be very easy to navigate your way through those countries if you know the B2 intermediate level of English, okay? I would strive for that. The advanced levels, you do not need that to go live in the UK or the US, okay? You don't need it. It's cool if you have it. It'll make life a little bit easier, but there are so many people in those countries who get by just fine with the B2 level, and some of them even the A2 or B1 level. So it's doable, okay? And keep in mind, these countries are really diverse. It's not like 99% of them are Caucasian English speakers. There's tons of people who come from all over the world who live in the UK and who live in the US. Keep that in mind too. Very diverse. Story of freedom. What do you think about artificial intelligence? ChatGPT, Bing AI, PI AI. How do we use it for learning English? Yes. ChatGPT and artificial intelligence. Yes, you can use that for learning English. I would say that it depends which skill you're trying to improve upon. For example, you could go to ChatGPT and you can search like generate a short story in English at the B2 level for me to read and include some more challenging vocabulary words in the story. And then it'll generate a story for you in seconds. And now you have a good story that you can read that's at your level of English. You can say generate an English proficiency quiz at the A2 level. And now it'll generate a quiz at a certain level that matches your level of English. You can use it in all sorts of ways to improve your reading skills, maybe even your typing skills. You could say correct this paragraph that I'm going to write. You have to be a little bit creative with how you actually apply it to your learning. It's a question that actually you could probably answer better than I could because you know what your goals are better than I do. But yes, I would say AI is a good thing. I'd say it saves a ton of time. The people back then who didn't have this technology must have had a much more difficult time learning the English language than you guys do today. So absolutely take advantage of it and absolutely use it. You can say, generate a vocabulary list of 100 different words that are commonly used about the subject of chemistry, about the subject of sports, about the subject of basketball, about the subject of photography, about the subject of whatever it is that you want to learn, and it will do it for you in seconds. Before, people would literally have to go through a book, they'd have to write out flashcards, they'd have to compile a big deck of flashcards written. It saves so much time, especially if you use this over a long period of time. This saves you like years. If you're learning English for like a few years at a time, this saves you a ton of time. So absolutely use it. It's definitely a good thing and it will make your life easier. Okay. Sherwin, what are some common misconceptions about accents and their role in English communication? Yes. Yeah, so if I spoke with a British person, they may contest some of the ways that I pronounce words. And I'm sure I would contest a lot of the ways that they pronounce words. Common misconceptions about accents and their role in English. Well, first of all, when it comes to basic conversations, the accent is not going to make a big difference. People are so used to having these common conversations every day that an accent is not going to deter them from being able to understand what is being conveyed in what people are saying. If it comes to more advanced conversations that are extremely informal with lots of slang terminology, that's a different story. If I saw some British people from Northern England using slang terminology and having a conversation in English, it would be difficult for me to follow it. And I'm a native English speaker. And vice versa, if they came to Toronto and heard a bunch of people speaking the Toronto dialect of English in an informal way with lots of slang terms, most Americans and people from the UK, they wouldn't even understand what's being said. They'd have a hard time following the conversation. Okay, so for common conversations, the accent's not going to be a big deal. For more advanced, more sophisticated conversations or more informal conversations, the accent is going to make it easier or harder to understand. I hope that answers your question. Okay, we have a couple more minutes here, so I'll get to the last questions. Sophie, who is the best person for the shadowing technique? Sophie, what you need to do is you need to find someone who you want to speak like, okay? So for example, let's take a English-speaking celebrity. Let's take Taylor Swift, the musician, the artist. If you want to speak with her accent of English, if you want to communicate with the same rhythm and the same way that she communicates, then you should be watching some Taylor Swift interviews on YouTube, and then you should be shadowing the way that she speaks, okay? If you want to sound like her, if you want her accent, if you want to communicate that way, if you want to get the American accent, shadow somebody who you want to speak like, okay? Find a role model and then shadow them. That's who the best person is. Depends which accent you're, which accent you're trying to learn. Okay, and Paridi Sakpase, a teacher. When do you think we can whose? I'm not sure what that means. I'm not sure what that means. You have to clarify. Okay, we're at the 30-minute mark, so we're going to wrap it up here. If you have any questions at all, just leave a comment down below. We'll answer it. We'll make an episode on it, perhaps. And if you want free English lessons, short or long, just follow us on whichever social media platform you prefer. Just search ARC English and you'll find us on whichever platform it is. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Music, if you have any questions at all, simply just send us an email or a DM on Instagram. It's ARC English, or our email is arcenglish123@gmail.com. And that is all. If you'd like to support the platform, you could like the video, helps us a lot. That's all, and I'll see you guys next time.